In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our God is a good God who desires to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him. He wants to reveal his glory to us and in us and through us to the world around us. This is God's desire for us. And we hear about this in St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, which was just read earlier, where St. Paul writes, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So here, St. Paul is speaking about revelation, God's self-revelation to us, and the fact that he wants to bestow his glory upon us, that we might know his glory through Jesus Christ, and that glory might come and dwell in us. But what does he say next? "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." In other words, brothers and sisters, oftentimes we may wonder if, you know, all of these things are true, and if God is bestowing his blessings upon us, which we do believe. Yes, okay, here we are, God is blessing us. But why are things still so difficult? Why are we so often so weak? You know, why, even though the Spirit is willing, is the flesh so weak? Why are things so often falling short of the ideal? Maybe in the life of the church, as we look around us, look at others. But more importantly, when we look at ourselves and our own life and the ways that we fall short and the ways that you know, we maybe are tempted to fall into despair because things are not what we wish they were in our own life. But St. Paul is telling us that this is actually by design. Not our sins, but the fact that our vessel is an earthen vessel. The fact that we're not perfect, we're capable of falling short. In other words, we're capable of being humbled, you know. We're also capable of falling into pride and delusion. But in order to keep us from simply going completely out of our minds with pride and delusion and vanity and conceit and all of these things, like Lucifer, the Lord has given us these earthen vessels so that we might be humbled by them. And ultimately, God allows death itself in order to humble us. That's the purpose of death, to bring us low so that coming down low, we might finally truly humble ourselves and be raised up on high. Of course, with Lucifer, he recognized the glory that he had been given. He was the bearer of light. And his pride got completely out of hand. And he wanted to exalt himself and be as high as God himself and take the place of God. And so he fell. He fell. Because those who exalt themselves fall. Pride goes before a fall. But the Lord is humbling us in order to keep us from such a fall, in order to keep us from the ultimate fall, in order to ultimately raise us up. Now, we see this played out, this glory of God and earthen vessels, in today's gospel. St. Peter is with the Lord. Actually, the Lord comes up, it seems, at random to a fishing boat in which the fishermen have left and are washing their nets. And the Lord gets in the boat, and there's Peter. And he says, "Okay, push out, and I'm going to speak." And so he speaks for a while from St. Peter's boat. And then he says, "Now go out into the deep for a catch." And it's a beautiful thing that St. Peter says. First of all, he confesses his own weakness. He confesses his exhaustion. He says, "Master, We've toiled all night and caught nothing. You can hear in that expression just the sense of almost hopelessness, you know. We tried and tried and tried, and nothing came of it. But then are the beautiful words, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will do this." So he also expresses his obedience. And so he discovers in the midst of his weakness that he's nevertheless able to obey and say yes to God. He doesn't even realize yet who Jesus Christ is, but he says yes to him. He recognizes that he's a man of authority. And so he goes out and he throws out the nets, and what happens? Huge catch of fish, you know? A huge catch. And like nothing he's ever seen before in his life. Now they fished all night long. They fished in the time when you're supposed to fish, you know? And now it's morning and he's not supposed to catch anything, but when he follows the Lord's direction, he catches more fish than he's ever caught before. And so then he has to call the other boat, and they come, and they're filling both the boats, and both the boats are sinking. I mean, it's wild what happens. And then St. Peter falls at the Lord's feet, and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He's humbled. He recognizes his nothingness before the Lord. He recognizes that here is glory, and I'm not worthy of it. And this is the first step for us, brothers and sisters, to be able really to receive and to contain that glory, to be the vessels that God has created us to be. There's a beautiful story in the life of St. Sergius of Radonezh that illustrates this idea of glory in an earthen vessel, which I'm going to tell you in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you about an experience that I had in my own life that was similar to that story in the life of St. Sergius, and that relates to it, and is something that's always stuck with me and has been moving to me. When I was in my mid-20s, I went with my family from Santa Fe, New Mexico, out to the East Coast, to Pennsylvania and New York, to visit a couple of seminaries. And really what brought us out there was my dear friend and godson, Father James Coles, was graduating from St. Vladimir Seminary. But before we went to St. Vladimir's, we stopped at St. Tikhon's in Pennsylvania and visited there. And I stayed there for a few days and was there for they have an annual pilgrimage, and they would have a wonder-working icon, the Tikhon icon of the Mother of God, where everybody could come and venerate, and it's a beautiful event. But I had actually just arrived, and I got out of the car, and I really had to use the bathroom. And I saw there, at St. Tikhon's, there's a road that kind of runs straight through the whole property, you know, just a regular public road. And on one side of the road is the monastery, and on the other side is the seminary. And so there's a little parking lot there, and we parked the car, and in front of the seminary part of St. Tikhon's, there's, you know, an administrative building right there, and there were some little flower beds out in front. And I saw what looked like an older monk working in the flower bed. You know, he was kind of maybe wearing an older cassock because he's working and pulling weeds or something like that. So I got out of the car and I said, "Oh, hi, Father. Can you tell me which way the bathroom is?" And he told me, had a little bit of a speech impediment, you know, but he told me, "Okay, this is where you go. You go in there, turn left, and whatever." And so I went and thanked the monk. Well, a couple of days later, I was still at St. Tikhon's, and now they had the pilgrimage, and they had, you know, the big majestic services and everything, and right there in the middle of everything that was going on was this little monk who was, his beatitude, the most reverend Metropolitan Herman, Archbishop of Washington in New York and all America. Yes. And I was very embarrassed. I had no idea who he was. I didn't ask for his blessing. I didn't say your beatitude, nothing like that, right? But my experience of him, I didn't get to know him well, was just that he really was very humble like that and very unpretentious and just kind of a real person and wouldn't expect people necessarily to know who he was or whatever. It was a beautiful and inspiring thing for me. And now, just a couple of weeks ago, he departed this life. May his memory be eternal. But the story about St. Sergius, which as you'll see is very similar, goes like this. There was a certain peasant who visited his monastery. Now, St. Sergius was born in 1313 in Russia. He established a monastery outside of Moscow. It became known as the Holy Trinity, St. Sergius Lavra. And this was still during his lifetime. And already during his lifetime, he became very famous as a spiritual father. He was known to be clairvoyant. You know, many people came to him for his wisdom and so on. Even rulers, you know, princes and so on would come to him. Well, this certain peasant heard about this famous Father Sergius, and so he wanted to go and see him and see what he was all about and that kind of thing. So he came to the monastery and he asked around, where is the famous Father Sergius? And somebody said, oh, he's over there in the garden working. And he went and he looked, and he thought, that guy looks like a peasant like me. He was wearing a patched up old cassock, pulling weeds or whatever. And he thought the people, the other monks who told him that was Father Sergius, were just making fun of him, you know, sort of making fun of his ignorance. Oh, that's Father Sergius right there, you know, that lowly monk. So he thought they were playing a joke on him. So he went back and he said, no, I'm serious, you know, I really want to see the Father Sergius, the famous one, you know. And they said, that's him. He didn't believe them. So he was kind of sitting there dejected, feeling like he was being rejected. And Father Sergius comes in, St. Sergius comes in from his work, and he sees this peasant there, and he looks right into his heart. He knows what he's thinking. He knows what's going on. And he says, if you're just patient, you'll see Father Sergius very soon. Just a little bit, you'll see him. And so the peasant, you know, kind of perked up. He said, thank you for telling me that. I'll pay attention. And so then, you know, Father Sergius went, and maybe he changed into his nicer cassock or something. But along comes the prince and his royal retinue, and they enter the monastery, and you know, with lots of pomp and circumstance, and they're received as royalty into the monastery. And there, in the greeting hall, you know, the hospitality hall, this peasant saw the very same monk who had been working in the garden come and greet the prince. And the prince bowed down before him and kissed his hand and showed him such love and honor and all of this. And now the peasant was asked to step aside. Please, you need to make room for, you know, everybody who's gathering here. He was kind of pushed out now. And he realized he had the opportunity to be close to Father Sergius. He didn't have eyes to see who he really was. He had been a fool, you know, judging him by the outside, and so he was greatly humbled by this experience. And so later, after everything was over, he did have his opportunity to come to Father Sergius, and he bowed and took his blessing, and he begged him, please forgive me, I didn't honor you as I should have, and so on and so forth. But what St. Sergius said was so beautiful. He said, and I mean, he said it, of course, 100% sincerely, and this is why he's a saint. He said, no, brother, you are the one who saw me in the true way. You saw who I really am. I'm nothing. He said, the other ones who think I'm something, they're deluded. They're deluded, you know. They think, you know, all of this, but I'm nothing. And of course, the peasant and we who read the story are even more humbled by this when we recognize that the greatest of the saints didn't think that they were anything great, but they knew that they were just earthen vessels, and that whatever good they had was from God. It was a gift. It was given to them to contain, you know, and to be an earthen vessel that contains the glory of God is a very high calling. But if we separate ourselves from the glory of God, then we're just an earthen vessel. We're nothing apart from the grace of God. So through the prayers of St. Sergius, may we recognize this reality that God has created us to contain himself. And there's no higher calling, there's no greater thing in this world than to contain God, to be filled with him, to shine with his light. It's a glorious thing. It's the highest thing. It's what we, God willing, we hope by the grace of God to experience eternally in the kingdom of heaven, and it will be majestic and glorious without limit. But apart from God's grace, we're nothing. We're empty, clay, broken vessels. So may we have eyes to see the glory of God where it's present. May we see it, may we recognize it even in the midst of the earthen vessels all around us. And may we humble ourselves and so receive that glory ourselves and be transformed by it and be made into the saints that God has created us to be. Amen.